Our eyes on you. Did the kiddos leave? They can take off now if they want. Now for the letdown. Man, after that, whew. Ephesians 3. Okay, in Ephesians 3, in Ephesians 1, there's a prayer that Paul gave. It runs from 15 to 23. And if you follow the punctuation, it's all one sentence. And simplistically, that would be a prayer to learn the Bible. And then in chapter 3, 14, is a prayer to live the Bible, obviously rightly divided. So in Ephesians 3:14 it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So this is a family of God, and that's the only time the word family was used by Paul in his writings. And then if you look at 16 and 17, it starts with the word that. So this would be the twofold application of this prayer. Okay, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So the idea is that the inner man is strengthened to overcome the outer man. And then the second part, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able, notice it doesn't say you will be able, but you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. That's four-dimensional. Okay, we live in a three-dimensional world. And this is a four-dimensional because it deals with the spiritual aspect. So that ye may be able to comprehend what? Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. And there's a lot of varied backgrounds of everybody in this room. And I just pray that you can put everything together for each and every person, that they might understand the love of Christ that's been demonstrated to the world. But sadly, so few accepted. And then so many have hindrances and roadblocks they got to overcome to begin to comprehend it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the word love is bantered about quite a bit. Hollywood has a distorted view of it. They tend to try to portray that love means a lustful, uncontrolled emotion of infatuation of another, and that you live that in a life of fantasy and thrill. And anybody that's been married for more than a year realizes, well, say, well, where'd that come from? Because a good marriage, you got to work at it. Okay, and when a person has a perverted viewpoint of love, as Hollywood gives, then they will face a bunch of frustrations, disappointments, dysfunction. And yesterday, Brother Brian gave a wonderful idea about the dysfunctional people, families in the Bible. And often we don't think about that, but it's a real thought to think of. The sad thing is that most people develop a viewpoint of God based upon their viewpoint of their dad, whether he was in their life or not in their life. So let's say he's an abusive dad, so they tend to think that God's abusive. You can't do anything to make him happy. You try to live your life to please your parents, your dad, your mom, and you can never do it. You gave up, frustrated. And so then you hear about the Heavenly Father, and so then you take that same experience and say, well, that must be what God's like. That's not what God's like. Okay, if you study religions, pagan, all types of religions, you'll discover that most religious gods are always mad, never satisfied, and in most cases, sexual predators. That's what most pagan gods are. The God of the Bible is uniquely different. But there's still a distorted idea of him that people have, and they got to overcome this distortment. And a lot of people develop their beliefs based upon their own personal life, and they think everybody lives like this. But that's not the case. And so love is taking a personal interest in another person. That's what love is, taking an interest in them. And God is the one that takes an interest in man. But he doesn't force himself on man. That's the thing about the Lord. He doesn't force himself. And most people are living under the wrath of God because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And the ones who are living in the love of God because they believe in Jesus Christ, they still have a distorted viewpoint of that, and they feel like there's nothing I can do to please my God. Well, I'm here to tell you there is. And the God of the Bible is amazing. And the song we sang is Fix Your Eyes on Jesus Christ. We're not religious people. That might surprise a lot of people. We're not promoting a religion. We're promoting a person, Jesus Christ. Okay, that is a name that often uses a cuss word. You won't find on a job anybody say Muhammad blankety blank. They don't do that. They'll say Jesus Christ. Why? Because in their spirit, they know there's something unique about Jesus Christ. And that's why people do that. Okay? And so a lot of times the tragedies of life, but you know, the greatest tragedy from a human's perspective is the tragedy of God's Son dying at Calvary. That's a tragedy from human perspective, but boy, that sure is a victory when you believe in it. Okay, and to love somebody is want the best for them. You want the best for that person. You take an interest in that person. You take an interest. A parent ties strings with their children by taking interest in what they take interest in, whatever age they're at. Now, if as they get older, if the interest turns unbiblical, then we take an interest in interceding for them until they figure it out. There's so much pressure put on young people today, unbelievable pressure put on them. And we understand that, and we understand that all the temptations that's put on this generation is way beyond my generation ever dreamed of. In my day, if anybody in school would have came with, you know, colored hair and they started meowing like a cat and they thought they was a girl, boy, we would have laughed them out of school. I mean, who would have even dreamed anything like that would even come to mind in these days? The pressure put on young people today is just phenomenal. And so, but the older generation, we need to want the best for them. We do want the best for them. And we want to do everything we can to help them along. And not if they fail, but when they fail, we're there to help pick them up. Okay, and we're there. Love acts first. You see where in 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And love doesn't demand acceptance. It doesn't demand that on people. It just throws out the idea. And here's an opportunity you have. If you would like to take this opportunity, please do, because it's going to be better for you if you do. But love joyfully sacrifices for another person. And that person doesn't have to express gratitude, even though it's nice when they express gratitude. Okay, but a person who truly loves someone knows that, man, you look back in your life, you realize what you had and a lot of things, and you say, man, I just didn't know what I had. And people are like that. But if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want to just kind of focus on this chapter here. There's a word that is an elevation of the word love, okay? So love is an emotion, okay? And there's a different word that the Bible introduces later in the Bible. The more you go in history from Adam until today, there's more ideas God will throw out. He doesn't dump all truth on mankind at once. There was no written Bible for 2,500 years. None whatsoever. But those people knew what to do, because God revealed stuff to their conscience. And so then the more Bible is revealed. Now, when you come through the Bible, the very first time the word charity is found, okay, we use that as a, quote, charitable organization. But charity is an elevated love in action. It's only within a setting of Christ, where we read the love of Christ. So you have charity, C-H, church, C-H, Christ, C-H. So the first time this is found in the Bible is found in Romans 14. And then 1 Corinthians 13 gives the definition. Now, there's two ways you look at 1 Corinthians 13. Is you could look at it from what the first perspective, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. This is God looking at his children. Okay, then what he wants us to do, recognize this is God, how God looks at each of us, each born-again believer, this is how he looks at them, in an attitude of charity, and then he wants us to display this attitude of charity towards husband, wife, you know, children, grandparents, fellow believers. And so the word is charity. So all we have to do is just read the definition and analyze our attitude about that. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, runs to 7, is the actual full, all the elements of this word charity. Okay? A lot of times you have a definition of a word where it has certain elements. Okay, and so these are the elements of charity, verse 4. Charity suffereth long, comma, and is kind. Now, if he just said charity suffereth long, that's not a problem. But when he had to throw in, you're still kind, boy, that sure puts a damper on the idea. We can put up with somebody for a long time, but often our emotions get involved and we want to smack them around to try to get their attention. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I mean, that's the Lord. If you look back in your life and you see how merciful God was toward, I look back and see some things. God should have killed me here. He should have killed me here. Should have killed me here. And the Lord should have dumped me a long time ago. And the Lord suffers long and is still kind. Okay, that's how he looked. So maybe there was something in your upbringing that was abusive. Maybe there was divorce. Maybe there were things going on that you just feel like there's nothing that you could do to please your parents. And so hence you've transferred that to God, nothing you can do to please him. Well, if you accept his son, that's the first thing you can do to please him. I mean, he'll take that. So he says, charity suffereth long as kind, then charity envieth not. So charity envieth not. Okay, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. A person who has charity towards another, if they hear somebody excited about maybe getting something, a new product, or having a wonderful experience, a charitable person doesn't try to make my experience better than theirs. Always got to up it. Okay? And the Lord's not like that. I mean, who can up any of us but Jesus Christ? But he doesn't do that. Okay, then he says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Okay, and you got to figure out what that word means. Seeketh not her own. So the Hollywood love is always for me, me, me. It's always for me, what you've done for me. But the Bible love or charity is what I can do for you. Seeketh not her own. In other words, God looks at you and he tries to seek not his own. He's seeking your interest, wanting you and I to do the right thing. Okay, is not easily provoked. Okay, you ever get around somebody, get under your, oh, that person just gets under my skin? You've been provoked. Or if two people know how to push the other's button to provoke them, that's not charity. God doesn't go around pushing your button just to get you all fired up. He doesn't do that. He'll put a little pressure here, trying to get our attention. He'll do a little circumstance here, trying to get our attention. He'll do something over here just to try to get us moving in the right direction. Okay, but he's not going to sit there just to fire a person up. So he says he's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And then the next one kind of goes with that. Think, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Jan and I lived in Colorado Springs for a couple years, 2.5 years. We were part of a church. I was like the youth pastor. But I recognized that in this church setting, it was almost like they had like a bunch of rules you had to sign on for. And the attitudes of the adults was more of a self-righteous attitude. And often they would look at the teenagers as, that kid ain't going to amount to anything. That kid's going to bomb out. And it was almost like they wanted that child, that youth, to bomb out. And when that youth, if that youth did, then they'd be sending out prayer requests, oh, pray for so-and-so. Can you believe what they did? Instead of crying, praying for them, trying to help them out, it's like these self-righteous people wanted those teenagers to mess up. They desired that. They rejoiced in that almost to a point. And the thing is we ought to do all we can to help the young people going through this generation. I mean, it is insane. Lester Roloff said in the 1980s that America's an insane asylum run by the inmates. What if he would have seen today? I mean, it is just crazy what's being pushed off in our culture today. And if you take some of the ideas we have in our culture and go to Africa to people who are poor, dealing with, and tell them, oh, this kid thinks he's this, and they'll look at you like, you're an idiot. You think we're backwards? You people are just flat nuts. And the Bible calls this vain imagination. So he says that rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And then he says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Okay, now that is God's viewpoint toward each of his children. He desires to walk with them. That's what he wants. He wants a close relationship with each and every one of his children, but he's not going to force it. He's not going to do it. And that's the amazing thing. Now, the Lord wants us, verse 4 to 7, to display this towards others. You see, you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart first. This is how God views his child. And you can rest in that. It says in Psalms, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. That's quite a promise there. Okay, and so then the Lord wants us to take this attitude and then portray that towards family. And the intent of the family, what the Lord's intention of that, you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 7, where you have peace and security. That's what a home should have. Peace and security. Not yelling and screaming and all this stuff going on. And maybe you experienced that, but the Lord wants peace and security. And if a person rests in the love that God has for the person, then you can take joy in that, and then you can spread the joy to other people. That's what the Lord wants for us. The first thing to do, the first thing to believe, the first person to believe, to begin this first step on learning to please our God, is to accept his Son, what Jesus Christ has done. That's first step. There's nothing a person can do until then to please this God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it starts with faith in Jesus Christ. And then once that in, you're in the family. And then, man, there's nothing better than that. Having a Heavenly Father, Holy Father, that wants to fellowship with each and every one. Not going to force it, but he sure does want it and desires it. And he's going to kind of move some things. It's almost like you're playing chess with God. You make a move, he makes a move. You make a move, he makes a move. Now, you're going to end up in checkmate. Just enjoy the game along the way and ask the Lord to help you. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to see that your love is full and it's free and it's available. By chance, if someone in this room has not placed his or her faith in the Lord Jesus, in his death, his burial, his resurrection, trust in that and that alone for fellowship with thee for eternity, I pray that they would see their desperate need. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, and you're saying, preacher, I need to consider that. Just by an uplifted hand, you're saying, would you pray for me? We're not going to pester you or anything. We're just wanting to pray for you on something like that. Anybody in here? Please make sure that that is right between you and the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray that you'd help each and every one of us to recognize that there are so many unique traits about the Lord Jesus that sets him apart from any, if we call him a religious founder. And there are so many unique traits about the God of the Bible compared to all pagan deities. There's so many unique traits about thee, but that one of love and charity, that ought to be the clincher. And I pray you'd help us to rest in that fact and take joy in that fact and have a happy thoughts because of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.